Okay, so we're up to again, Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, Perek, Gimel. I gave out a handout. If anyone doesn't have the handout, there are more over here. Okay, this is a phenomenal handout. This is from Rabbi Reich in the Sefer Teras Rashi. It's called Teras Maram. Well, I'm not sure what it calls Maram. Okay, but this is really the Mercedes of charts. It's he has done for us something here that is remarkable. Okay, let's see. We're going to go slow, and as we go through the psukim, we're going to focus, try not to lose track of what you see on the chart. Pasuk Aleph, Eile Hayu Vnei David. Notice again, David with the Yud. In Divrei Hayamim, we discuss this. Divrei Hayam, we had this before. Divrei Hayam David. Dr. Friedman, I have a handout over here for you. Okay. In Divrei Hayamim, David is always spelled with a Yud because Mole, David, Chavivus, we are trying to bring out the Shlemus of David. When David HaMelech's mission, this will come to fruition. And he will bring forth Malchus, he'll bring about Geula, Melech HaMashiach, the Beis HaMikdash, and the days of Achris Hayamim. And that's why David is always spelled here in Divrei Hayamim, Mole, with a Yud. The Eile Hayu Vnei David, the following are the children of David. Each one of his children is a whole few parakim in Sefer Shmuel, so we can't go into all the details. But we will see many of the details later on as we go through Sefer Divrei Hayamim. So just right now we'll go through the names, not going to focus so much on exactly who they were and their contribution to us and to Tanakh. But here we have their names. Asher Nola Lo B'Chevron, the following were born to him in Chevron. We know that David was male for 40 years. And those 40 years were divided into two parts, 7 and 33, really 7 and a half, 7 and a half and 32 and a half. It's interesting, so I once was by Yassim HaShas, and you know, in Daf Yomi cycles, Shas takes 7 and a half years, Yassim HaShas, the Daf Yomi cycle. So someone asked, why did David wait? He was first Melech in Chevron for 7 and a half years before he moved to Yerushalayim. So the answer is, he first wanted to go through one machzor in Shas, Daf Yomi. Then after you go through one machzor in Shas, then you're able to spread Yefutsu, Mayoncha, Hachutza, you can go further. But here, the following are the children, Asher Noila Lo B'Chevron, in Chevron, where he was king for 7 and a half years, Habuchor Amnon. The firstborn was, you see here on this chart, was Amnon. Now we know, by the way, that Shlomo was really David's firstborn, but we're referring here specifically to this point in time. I take that back. We'll see that a little bit later. I'll take that back. We'll come back to that another time. But here in the Chevron, we're listing the six sons. Number one is Amnon, Lachinoam Hayiz Re'elis. Okay, that's his wife. The first wife was Achinoam HaYisraelis, produced for him Amnon. As you see here on the chart, David, you see to the right, the extreme right, Amnon is number one. Shady, the second one is Doniel. Now Doniel is known also as Kilof. Okay, and the reason why he was called Doniel, we'll see there are different midrashim, because Hashem judged me. We'll see Rashi in a few moments. Rashi, okay, we'll do that for a few moments, why he called the different names. But there are different. The name Doniel does not appear in Sefer Shmuel. There he's called Kilov, and here he's called Doniel, but they are the same person. Who was the mother? La Avigail HaKarmelis, the famous Avigail, who's married to Novel, and held back David from killing Novel. She told David, you cannot judge Novel as a Morid B'Malchus, because your fame has not yet spread to the world. And you do not have a din melech to the degree where you have a right to execute a person for rebelling against you. So this was Avigail. And she produced this person called Daniel, or otherwise known as Kilav. Next, Hashlishi, the third son, was Le'Avshalom. Now, the Lamed here is an unusual expression, and all of the Mepharshim apologize. And they tell us that's the way Psukim are written in Kisuvim, and the Lamed should be interpreted as S. Instead of Lamed, change it to the one word, to a word S. Hashlishi Le'Avshalom, or Hashlishi S. Avshalom, who was Ben Ma'acha. Ma'acha was who? Bas Talmai Melech Gishui. She was the daughter of a non-Jewish king. And in fact, Mepharshim tells us that she was a Eshes Yifas Toar. She was a prize of war, and he went to war against this nation called Melech Geshur, a trophy wife. And Chazal warned that if you marry an Eshes Yifas Toar, the next parsha after Eshes Yifas Toar comes a Ben Sorer Umore. And Chazal warned that if you go and you cannot, I'm allowing you to marry an Eshes Yifas Toar, but there may be consequences. And Chazal find this hidden in Avshalom. Avshalom rebelled against David. He tried to kill his own father. And we know the whole story. We'll get to it a little bit later on. And he, to some degree, and at least homiletically, was considered to be Ben Sarah Moriah, because mother was an Asha Sifas Torah, the daughter of Macha. Bas, who was she? She was the daughter of Talmai Melech Geshur, Horavi'i, Adoniyah Ben Chagis. We all know that from the Haftorah. The Haftorah, from which parasha is the Haftorah? Our expert Haftorah man is not here. He's didn't come back yet. The Haftorah, well, what's the Haftorah for? Avdina Ben Chagis, Misnasei Limar. Adoniyah Ben Chagis, Misnasei Limar, Ni Emloch. Bereshis, Vayichi, is that Vayichi? No, not Vayichi. One of the Haftorahs in Bereshis, maybe Chayisara? I don't remember. One of the Haftorahs in Bereshis is the story where Bathsheba comes with Nasan HaNavi and tells David, didn't you promise the Malchus to my son, to Shlomo? How do you let Adoniyah ben Chagis in your old age seize the Malchus? And indeed, David listened to Bathsheba, listened to Nasan HaNavi, and he anointed Shlomo in his lifetime. So he was the fourth son, Horavi'i, Adino ben Chagis, Hachamish. The fifth son was Shefatia, La Avitol, to this woman, Avitol. Hashishi, the sixth one was Yisra'am, La Egla Ishto, to Egla Ishto, who is Egla. So we know this was Michal Bas Shol. Why is she called Egla? Egla is a calf, it's a baby calf, and it has a connotation of something that you love very much. And this was his, so to speak, his favorite wife. If you want to take that Maamar Chazal to the extreme understanding of what it means, is she was choviv to David very much, like an egla, like a baby, like I guess a mother likes her baby calf, or as I'll read you some of the midrashim a little bit later on. And she was Michal, which parsha? Chayisara. Michal Bas Shol. So again, this was Shol, we know, was the first Melech of Klal Yisrael. We know the whole story that David had a very complex relationship with Shol, and Shol was, in addition to the complex relationship of the struggle of Amalekus, was also his father-in-law. And Michal will come to some of that later on. Next, Shishi, so, yeah.
Does it mean that with all these wives, he had only one offspring?
No, we list the sons.
No, you have this. No, with each one, let's say Achinoam, he had only one child.
Oh, we don't know. That's a very good question. Excellent question.
Each these only produced one.
That's an excellent question, and I don't know if we have an answer. It's not clear if he had more children with each one of these wives. We're only listing the primary child. I don't know the answer. It's a very tough question. What? Oh, very good question. So the answer will seem to be in Rashi. It means from that time onward. Michal criticized David for humiliating himself as he danced in front of the Aron. And David rebuked her. And the Pasuk says that in punishment for her criticism of her husband, she did not have a child ad Yom Mosa, until she died. So there are different interpretations of what that means. Some means ad Yom Mosa, but she did have a child on the day that she died. She died in childbirth. That's one interpretation. Other commentators explain that she already had male children For example, this child listened over here. Yisra'am, he was already born. She did not have any more male children. She had daughters, but no more male children from that moment onward. That would be very good, what you mentioned before, that would seem to indicate, take that medrash, that all of these wives had multiple children. And it's just, for whatever reason, we're listing the ones that were important for us to know in Tanakh, but there were definitely more children to each one of these wives. It's not 100% clear. Okay, let's see, Pasuk Dalet. Shisha, Noila Loi B'Chevron. These six children were born to David during David's first 7 years, 7.5 years. And the Pasuk makes it very clear. Vayimloch Sham, David was a melech in Chevron. Sheva Shanim V'Shisha Chodoshim, for 7 years and 6 months, Ushloishim v'shalosh shana, and for 33 years, Molach b'Yerushalayim, he ruled in Yerushalayim. So David was really a king for 40 years and 6 months in total. 7.5 years. Why did David? Now this, of course, was the time when Shmuel anointed David. David already had the status of a king, but he did not promote himself. He kept a low profile. He stayed under the radar because Shaul was still accepted as king, even though the Ruach HaKodesh to some degree departed from Shaul, but Shaul was still in the palace. He was still the acting king, and it took 7.5 years for the battles. Shaul died, Yonasan died, and then there was a struggle who would take over, and so on and so forth, until David's fame spread to the world. And that itself is a very powerful muster. Just because a person rises to Gedula doesn't necessarily mean he's recognized immediately. Things take time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his way of doing things. David's a long time. 7.5 years to be a king in waiting is a long time. He was anointed, had a Shemelech, and during these 7.5 years, what the Pasuk tells us is something very important happened. He had six very important children. These six children were born during those 7.5 years. Next, Pasuk, we went to the Pasuk and then we'll come back. Time permitting, go through Midrashim, but I want to just go through the entire parak on one shot. Okay, then we'll see there's some beautiful Rashis, beautiful Midrashim, and some very interesting ideas. Let's do Pasuk Hei. Ve'ela nodu lo b'Yerushalayim. The following children were born to David when he was king in Yerushalayim. Shema'a, so here we have on the next line in this chart, we have Shema. Shema, notice, is number two. He puts here Shema as number two on this chart. We'll see in a moment why. Because Vishayvav, number next Shevav, and Vinasan and Nasan, Ushlomo. Shlomo is counted here as number four. He was born first. That's what I meant before. The Bukhari in Yerushalayim, Shlomo was born first. It appears his first son was Amnon. That was David's first real firstborn son. But the firstborn from Bathsheba was the mother of all four children. And Shlomo was the first. Ushlomo and Shlomo. Arba'o levas shua. Now, Vashua, that's all it says in the chart. What's correct? The chart or the pasuk? Shua. So the answer is they're the same. Bathsheba and Bathshua are the same. Not everyone knows this, that she had another name. She was called Bathshua. And in fact, the Vav and a Beis have a very similar sound. Right now, the Nikud, of course, is very different, the way we pronounce it, but this is something which is exploited. This similarity between the Vav and the Beis, and we use this as a model for other places in Tanakh where we have discrepancies, and we say it's no big deal. Sometimes the pasuk interchanges a Vav for a Beis. Look, the biggest rai is this famous woman. Who's more famous among the women than Bathsheba? And here she's called Bathshua, seemingly because the Vav and the Beis are very similar. Bas Amiel, her father's name was Amiel. Okay, pasuk Vav. V'yivchar. Now we're going to other children. Does not tell us who the mother was. It just says we have here V'yivchar. We have over here another list of nine more children. V'yivchar. Ve'elishama, ve'elif folet. Okay, another three. Rashi seems over here to say that those two children died. We'll see, that's good. The reason, we'll get together a little later on. Vinoga, next, Vinoga, Vinefeg, Viofia. Okay, that's four, five, and six. Ve'elishama, ve'elyada, ve'elifelet, a total of tisha, total of nine. Interesting, should not be ignored that the pasuk is grouping these nine children in by 3, 3, 3. Obviously, there was some type of connection. It wasn't many. We have many names. Sometimes we list five names, even seven names in one shot. Here, the pasuk with precision, broke up these nine children into three groups, 3, 3, 3. That itself is a limud. There must have been some connection between each group of three. Okay, it says there are a total of nine. The problem is, in Sefer Shmuel, there are only seven. So how could it be that here there are nine, there are seven? So Rashi explains that two of them died. Two of them died when they were... In fact, one of them, Elishama, could have been the one, the Tinuk. We don't even know the name of the baby that died after Bathsheba was pregnant from David. And that child died. It doesn't give a name for that child in Shmuel. It could be that that child's name really was Elishama. We don't know. And Rashi explains here that since this Sefer Divrei Hayyam is all written, he says over and over, we'll see some of the Rashi's later, that it was written for the honor of David HaMelech, L'chvaydai. So we want to mention every detail, anything that we can add to magnify the greatness of David. He had so many children. We will, even though some of those children did not last, they died very young. So now we go past the test. Kol b'nei David. These are all the b'nei David. Everything we've listed over here. Milvad b'nei Filakshim. Besides Pilakshim, David had other women that were not married with a ksuba. They were Pilakshim, had children, and we don't know their names. We do not know what became of them. We do not know how they had an impact in Klal Yisrael. But the pasuk makes it very clear these were not the only children of David. This what?
There are two of them. First
two. Yes.
Are repeated in
Pasuk. Love and Chesed, there are
two names that are repeated. In Pasuk, where Pasuk, which Pasuk?
The names are two that die.
Pasuk Vaviv.
Nine children.
All right, so the question is, are they the same? They repeat, right? Two and seven are the same, and three and nine are the same. So seemingly, he named them after the children who died. That's what it seems to indicate. He had really nine children. Number two, that's what Rashi says, if I'm not mistaken. But the number two or number three died. And when he had number seven and number nine, he named those children after the children who died. Why was there a gap of number eight in the middle? I don't know. There must have been some reason why he did not do it right away. It's very interesting because people don't do this today. Today, this is a taboo. You see that when a person dies young, so people are advised by Talmidei Chachamim not to name a child or a later child exactly after the one that died young. You name it, absolutely you can give it the name, but you add another name. You add another name, I forgot how, you have to add another name. There's a hakpad before or after, I don't remember the details, but you name it, but with a little bit of a shinui. By adding another name or a slight variation, because I don't know why, that's how it is, because we're very spooky, we're very scared of bad mazel, that since a name captures the essence of the neshama was only meant to be for a short period of time in this world, we don't want a repeat of being here for a short period of time, we want the new neshama to be here for a long period of time, but we want it to serve as a remembrance for that neshama, so we do both. We give it the name, but we make a small variation in order to show that it's different. It will have a different mazel, and it will live Me'a V'Eshem Shana. But David, obviously, in those times, there were different standards, there were different understanding of things, and he named the name exactly the same as the children who actually died very young. That is a very interesting...
Do we do this also for people that are killed young?
The same thing. People who are killed Al-Kiddush Hashem.
Yeah.
There's the same issues. There are people that will not name that have a hakpad. Not everyone is like this, but there are definitely people that will not name someone after someone that was killed. Because we don't know what it means. So they will name a child, a grandchild, after that person, but with a slight variation.
Add a name.
That name plus...
Old age.
Someone died old age. Then there's no hakpada. Someone.
That's what they add on. Let's say someone died young.
Right.
You want to use that name.
Plus someone who died. Okay. Okay. That's that. But that's also a controversial. That's another controversial topic. If you should name one person after two people, we really don't have any precedent for that in Tanakh. There are, we'll see soon in this parak, there is such a thing, according to one opinion, the person had two names. But generally, we don't find in Tanakh one person being named after two people. And the reason given is, we know in life that not everyone gets along with each other. And if you name when you name a person after someone, that neshama has an influence over the person who carries his name. And if you name a person after two people, that means two people are casting an influence over this new neshama. And if those two people don't get along, they are different. You know, they're different types of neshamos. It could have a bad effect on a new person. Some say that's nonsense. Some say it's not nonsense. So some people will do it, some will not. So you mentioned that the counterbalance, you give a name of another person. That's another controversial inyan of naming one person after two people. The truth is, though, it's done. It's probably done more often than not. And in fact, there are people that are given three or four names. I know someone that has three names. Three names. There are people that have four or five names because the parents didn't have children for a long time and they were very worried they wouldn't have any more children. So they wanted a chaperayin, so they named their one child after five people. All the grandparents and great-grandparents. This is my only shot. Okay? You see, you get aliyah, you see people they call them, you listen carefully, people call them, they have all these there. Gabbai's nine, there are five, six names. It's not so uncommon for a person to have three names. And you'll find people that have even more than that. Okay. I told you the story. The funniest name was the guy. This person called up Mashiach ben David. So that was his name. His name was Mashiach ben David. And the Gabbai says, "What's your name? Yamoid? Mashiach? What? What? Mashiach ben David? That's really your name?" He goes, "Yeah, that's Yamoid Mashiach ben David." Then he says, "You know, we've been waiting for you a long time." Gabbai stories. Let's go further. So we have over here Pasek, Yitess, one more time, Kobe David, Bilvab, and Nevlash, and the summer. Then we have a summer Achoysam. Summer plays a very important role with Amnon. Okay, that's a story to itself. You look on the chart of Yen David, the top line, Macha. Macha had Avshalom's sister was Tamar. Okay, so, and that was also a very big story. Tamar and Amnon. So, but Tamar, we see here on this chart, is mentioned as a daughter of Macha. She gets noticeable mention. Next, Pasek Yud. Uven Shlomo Richam. Now we're going down the line of the Malchei David, who was the son of Shlomo, Uven Shlomo Rechavim. So here we're doing, yeah, we mentioned over here, we saw with David and Bathsheba, and we have David's other nine sons. Now we're jumping down, we're just going to focus on the line that comes from Shlomo David and David's son Shlomo. That's the next section on this chart. Uven Shlomo Rechavim, next comes Aviah. Gno was his son. Aviah was the son of Rechavim. We know the time of Rechavim was when the Malchus was divided between Rechavim and Yerov ben Nevat. And who was the son of Rechavim? Was Aviah beno, Asa beno, Yehoshaphat beno, Yoram beno, Achazio beno, Yoash beno, Amatzia beno, Azariah beno, Yosam beno, Ochaz beno, Chizkio beno, Menashe beno, Amon beno, Yoshio beno. So going all the way down to Yoshio, which was, he lived 22 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. So starting from Shlomo down to Yoshiyahu, we have here 17 generations. We have here 16, which is a non-counting count. David, he puts the numbers 1 through Yoshiyahu. There are 17 people listed from David to Yoshiyahu. And during that period of time, from Shlomo to Yoshiyahu, was a little bit less than 400 years. The Bayis Rishon stood for 410 years, and Yoshiyahu died 22 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. So a little bit less than 388 years. 88 years is from Shlomo to, you know, at least the end of Shlomo's life. And Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, or not the end, when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash until Yoshua, that we have that period of time. Now we come to the complex period of time leading into the Churban. All of this you probably hear a lot about on Tisha B'Av. Uvnei Yoshiyahu, who was the son of Yoshua. Here it gets a little complex. We have three children. HaBechor Yoichanan. The oldest son was Yoichanan, as you see over here on the chart on the right side. HaSheni Yehoyakim. HaShlishi, the third son, was Tzidkiyahu. HaRevi, the fourth son, was Shalom. Now that's not really so. Tzidkiyahu and Shalom are the same. So why do we call him Horevi? So the answer is because he was the fourth one to be king. After Yehoyakim died, the Malchus went to Yechoniah, Yehoyachin, his son. So Tzidkiyahu ruled after his nephew. So the reason why we call him four, we're doing something here very strange. A person, it's not just your order of birth. There are more significant things in life that are larger than life, that are more important than life. Being the Melech of Klal Yisrael is an extremely significant and important thing. And therefore, when we give the number, Yochanan is number one, Yoyakim is number two, and between the lines, Yechoniah is number three. Doesn't say that here. Okay? And then we call him, we mentioned Tzidkiyahu as being number three. He was number three in order of birth, but he was, Shalom was fourth in Malchus. In other words, Shalom and Tzidkiyahu are the same person. Tzidkiyahu is the name, number third child of Yoshiyahu, but he was number four, he was the fourth one to be Melech of Klal Yisrael after Yoshiyahu. First came Yoichanan on the right, then came Yehoyakim in the center, then came Yehoyakim's son, Yechoniah, also known as Yehoyachin, and after Yehoyachin died, then it went back to Tzidkiyahu, not the Tzidkiyah, that's a different Tzidkiyah, the one who had a son, Yechoniah had a son, Tzidkiyah, but now he was not Melech. It went to his uncle, Tzidkiyahu, who was also called Shalom. Why was he called Shalom? He was perfect. Shalem. He was complete. He was a tzaddik in all of his ways. He was an ish shalem. We'll see some of this later on. Now, pasuk tes vav, tezayin. Uvnei Yehoyakim. Now let's focus on the children of Yehoyakim. Yechoniah. Now the reason why we want to focus on Yehoyakim is because from him would come Malchus later during the tkuf of the Bayis Sheni. And leading up to the coming of Mashiach, it's important to me. Mashiach is the children of Yehoyachim. It's interesting that the children, the Malchus, is not coming from Tzidkiyahu. Malchus in the future will come from the line of Yechoniah, Yehoyakim, and Yechoniah, which was the middle son of Yoshiyahu. After Tzidkiyahu, it appears that his line came to an end, not necessarily a biological end, but at least an end in leadership. Position in Klal Yisrael. Uvnei Yehoyakim was Yechoniah. Next, Bino Tzidkiyahu. Uvnei Yehoyakim was Yechoniah. I'm not reading it right. Uvnei Yehoyakim. Yechoniah Bino Tzidkiyah Bino. Style of writing. The children of Yehoyakim. Who were they? Number one, Yechoniah Bino. Next, Tzidkiyahu v'no. Now that Tzidkiyah is not the same as Tzidkiyahu. Notice that Tzidkiyah is a different person. The Mitzudas David and points this out. If you look in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Tzidkiyah v'no, Ein ze Tzidkiyah ha-melech, ki ze hoya ben Yechoniah, v'Tzidkiyahu ha-melech, hoya doidoi shel Yoshiyahu. He was the uncle of Ben Yoshiyahu. Okay, so the chart makes it very, very clear, and even puts over here Mem Tzadi Dala, which stands for Mitzudas Tov. It explains that this Tzidkiyah is not the son, not the king, but he was a nephew of Tzidkiyahu. Now, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Uvnei Yechoniah. Who are the children of Yechoniah? Asir, Sheiltiel. Okay, Shealtiel is a person. As you see over here, there's a lot of midrashim to describe the significance of their names, which we'll come to later on. Shealtiel bino. Next, Pasuk Yud Ches. Who were the children of Shealtiel? Umalkiram. You see here on this line, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 children. Umalkiram, Ufidoyam, Vishen Atzar, Yikam Ya, Hoshomo, and Unidavya. These are the 6 children of Shealtiel. Next, we're only going to focus on the second child. Uvnei Pidoya. He was the famous Zerubbabel. Okay, so he was the one that came up. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael at the time. The Bayis Sheni. He was the leader. He served as Melech when they returned, when Koresh, 52 years after the Churban, gave permission for Klal Yisrael to return. He came up with Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. If Klal Yisrael would have merited, he would have been the Melech. He really was the Melech to a certain degree. He was the Melech with the Kohen Gadol, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and they brought back to the Eretz Yisrael 42,360 people at the time of 52 years before, after the Churban of the Bayis Sheni, after the Bayis Rishon, with the permission of Koresh Melech Paras. Okay, now, how comes after Tzidki Zerubbabel? Uvnei Fidoya Zerubbabel v'Shimi. We have 2 children, Zerubbabel and Shimi, those are the 2 sons. Now we go off the charts. Well, one more time. Uvnei Zerubbabel Mishulam. Now, for whatever reason, I do not know why, Rav Reich, who made this chart, stopped here. Maybe he ran out of space. I don't know exactly why. So I filled in for you over here some of the details to the end of the parak. So we have over here Mishulam Vachananya. So here we have another brother. We have Hananya. Uvnei Zerubbabel. One more time. Uvnei Fidoya Zerubbabel. The children of Zerubbabel were Uvnei Fidoya Zerubbabel v'Shemi. Uven Zerubbabel Mishulam Vachananya Hananya Ushlomis Achosam. Okay, and a sister, Shlomis, was a girl. She was a very significant person, so therefore she's listed here as well. Next pasuk. We're not finished yet. And now we have Vachavusha. These are all more children. It looks deceiving. I couldn't put it across. These are all children on the extreme right of Zerubbabel. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 5, really 5 or 6. There are 5 or 6 more children that Zerubbabel had. Now the reason why they're counted over here, I think, unfortunately, is because these children he had after he came back to Eretz Yisrael. The first children, Mishulam, Hananya, and Shlomis, he had when he was still in Bavel. Remember, he came, he led Klal Yisrael much later in his life, after Koresh gave permission for them to return. So we're now going to list the children that he had later in life, after he returned to Eretz Yisrael. Who are they? Vachashuva, Vohel, Uverechya, Vachasadya, Yushav, Chesed, Chomesh. Now, if Chesed is a person, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, indeed. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then we would have 6. In order to make it clear that they're not, Chesed is not a person, it says Chomesh, which then means something very unusual. I think the Gross says this, if I'm not mistaken. Yushav Chesed was one person. One person had one name called Yushav Chesed. And that's why we're listing these as a set of 5. Chashavya, Ohel, Uverechya, Vachasadya, and Yushav Chesed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a grand total of Chomesh. And the reason why we have to make this clearly Chomesh, because if we would not say Chomesh, you would be misled to believe that Chesed is the 6th son born to Zerubbabel after he arrived in Eretz Yisrael. But it's not, it's only 5. So we have 5 plus Shlomis, that's 6. Hananya is 7, Meshulam is 8, when I said 5, 6, 7, 8, we have a total of 8 children. So Rubavel, we are listing here in these psukim, had a grand total of 8 children. Seemingly 3 are one set, and the other 5 a different set. The 3 were born to him in Bavel, and the other 5 were born to him after he arrived in Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Now we're only going to focus on Hananya. Even though he had 8 children, the Yichus continues from the son Hananya. A person never knows from where the Yichus goes, where it travels. That becomes significant. Many children. Uven Hananya is Pelatya and Yeshaya. Now this is not, you don't make any mistake, this is not Yeshaya from saying Yeshaya. No way, this is much later on. Yeshaya long died. Yeshaya was living during the time of Ochos, Chizkiyahu, Yoisim, and Azariah. Right, that's the first pasuk, 11, 12, 13, 14. The Yeshaya of Sefer Yeshaya is way up there. Way up there. So this is obviously a different Yeshaya. He maybe whatever, there was a very common name. The Yeshaya. So Rebbe Hananya, Pelatya, Yeshaya, 2 sons. Next. Who was the son of Yeshaya? This way the Mitzvot Parshim learned. The Pesukim are not really clear because a lot of B'nai's had to read the Pesukim, but this way the most Parshim learned. Yeshaya had a son, and his son was B'nai Rifayah. His son was Rifayah. B'nai Arnon. He had a son called Arnon. You see the arrows. Each arrow indicates a son. B'nai Ovadiah. B'nai Shechaniah. Now, who was the son of Shechaniah? U'v'nai Shechaniah Pasuk Chav Beis was Shemaiah. Okay, I ran out of space, so I drew the arrow to the left. Was Shemaiah. U'v'nei Shemaiah, he had a lot of children. He had Chatush, V'yigol, U'v'riach, V'na'aryah, V'shafat, a grand total of 6. One, now problem is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I only count 5. You count, how many do you count? 5 or 6. So what in the world does this mean, 6? Right? Trying to trick us? How many fingers do you have? 11. You told me that joke. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I said this to my nephews. Okay, so what is going on over here? It says over here there's Chatush, and there is Yigol, V'riach, V'naryah, V'shafat, and how many? Shisha. A new numbering system. So what's going on? So some want to say that Shisha is not, does not mean 6. It was the name of a person. You think only we have social security numbers. They also had numbers. They were defined by their number. His name was Shisha. There are lawsuits. There are a court case if you can give yourself a number as a name. Other Farshim say, this is fascinating, that when Ezra wrote Sefer Divrei Hayamim, his mother was pregnant. He was not yet born. So there was no name yet. But she was pregnant. So he knew she would have another child. So I'll already a placeholder. We'll put in a placeholder. There will be a 6th child. What his name is, I'm not a prophet. Ezra did not hold himself to be a prophet in writing down the name that Allah asked. He just said, Shisha, there's another one on the way. Okay? Interesting idea. Okay, let's go further. Then, or could be that he just did not know the name. The name, there was another one, and that person's name was not known for whatever reason. Maybe he was in a different location. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. What happens? From all these 6 sons, we're only going to focus on son number 4. Uven Ne'aria. What was his name? El-Yo-Enai. Okay, El-Yo-Enai. And the Chizkia. And Va'az Rikam Shloisha. 3 children. This person, Ne'aria, had 3 children. From the 3 children, the one that we want to focus on is the first one, El-Yo-Enai. You know anyone by the name of El-Yo-Enai? Never heard the name before. Uvenei El-Yo-Enai. Who, what?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Not family.
First names. Taken from these psukim. Very interesting. Uvenei El-Yo-Enai. Who were they? Ho-Dai-Vohu. Or it's pronounced, I'm sorry, the Kri is Ho-Dav, the Yud is silent. Ho-Dav-Yahu, the El-Yoshiv, Ufil-Loya, the Akuv, the Yochanan, Udil-Loya, Va-Anoni, Shiva, a grand total of 7. Now, who is Anoni? So is it the Rashi here, or is it the Targum? We have to talk about the Targum at one point in time. There's a very interesting Targum called Targum Yosef. Well, it's a whole discussion, very interesting. Who wrote the Targum? What is the Targum all about? But it says there that Anani is Melech HaMashiach. Anani, now think about it. I tried to count. There are 33 people, generations, if I'm not mistaken, from David to Anani. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, can't take too long, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. I count the 33. 33 generations, if I'm not mistaken. It's very interesting. The number 33 is a very prominent number, and it comes up here already twice today. We have over here David was king in Yerushalayim for 33 years. How many generations are there between David, the first melech of Klal, the first melech, the permanent melech, and Anani, who it says melech HaMashiach? 33. Very interesting. 33 is a very mystical number. Lag BaOmer, Rashbi, and we all know Lag BaOmer. It's a big day. 33. Hoyt Shabahoyt, and that number already has appeared here today twice in what we have learned. So we have here this chart. If not for Reich, I do not know what we would do. This really is a gem. This chart, it really lays out David, his children, the six children that were born to him in Hebron, the nine children that were born to him in Yerushalayim with Bathsheba, and the other children, the 33 generations from David to Anani. Anani refers to Melech HaMashiach, which according to the Targum means he has not yet been born. Or he was born. There's something here going on, very mystical, which the Mefarshim don't know. We don't really know who these people are. These people, it seems, I don't know if there are any historical records to trace. I mean, you get to a certain point, we know all about everything until Zerubbabel. That for sure we know about. Maybe you have some records a little bit more than Zerubbabel. But when you get to these names over here, what's going on, it's not exactly known what's going on and the significance of these names. Le'nitin divrei hayamim ela lidarish. It's all here for Drashos to inspire us for the coming of Mashiach, this Ruach HaKodesh. There are great secrets, and this secret, and not only this, in fact, comes from Daniel. Daniel, it says that the Melech HaMashiach will appear, he comes riding on a cloud. There are two Mamori Chazal. One Mamori Chazal says that the Melech HaMashiach will come on a cloud, and one Mamori Chazal says it will come on an Oni Reichev Al HaChamor. And Chazal asks contradiction. Is he coming on a cloud? Is he coming on a chamar? It depends. If we merit this Ita, the Ita Achishen Gzuntai. If Mashiach will come at the end of days, the Ita will come Oni Reichev Al HaChamar. But if we merit to hasten the Geula, he'll come riding on a cloud. And that's here what alludes to in the name of Anani. Okay, there's a lot more to do. I think this is just a nice package up the Perek, the whole Perek Gimel, the genealogy. And tomorrow, I think we'll go through some of the Rashis and some of the Midrashim to elaborate more on the significance of some of the names mentioned here.